Blog Talk Radio.
Counting on the Most High for everything, knowing that if we put all things in His hands, He is true and faithful to us to see us through it, whatever it is. We are in the Elohim of the Blood Covenant, Part 25. We will be starting with the book of Numbers, Chapter 11, for this particular session. find that I don't want to skip anything because, you know, I have a list of scriptures that are supposed to contain the laws, the different laws, but I don't really want to trust the list, and I don't want to miss anything in between. And so there's always things within the scriptures that you might think that you're looking at, you know, for something in particular. But when you skip over or cherry pick, what I call cherry picking scriptures, where you're a scripture here and a scripture there, you can lose a lot of context, and you can lose a lot of what the Most High said. And you can also lose a lot of what his intent is. And I think it's very important that we understand the way that the Most High operates, what he considers to be important, because he didn't have it written for nothing. So, you know, we could skip some chapters, but we're not going to. I really want to make sure that I'm not missing anything, and therefore you won't be missing anything. I did send out the Truth of Yah, the Truth of Yah's Word, first video today. I pray that you take a look at it. I will be doing more of them on different subjects. But, you know, the things that the Most High has put on my heart that are important that we share, you know, with people. And that it's important that we have an understanding of it ourselves, so that we know what the Most High did, what he did from the beginning, and whether anything has changed today. But he says, you know, he says he changes not. So he modifies things, and he repents not. So he doesn't repent of, you know, what he has judged and what he has said. So I pray, take a look at it. Let me know your thoughts. I'm always looking to improve, get better at whatever I'm doing. And so, you know, I'm praying that he will allow me to make, you know, just better and better presentations for, you know, that we can use to just say, hey, take a look at this. Did you know? Because there's a lot of things that I know that are being taught that they just don't line up with the Word. They just do not line up with the Word of the Most High. And so, you know, people are seeking truth more often than not, you know, and I think really do think that when we are led down a wrong path, or when, you know, our first understanding of something, it's hard to break that because, you know, that's the way we believed it. That's the way we understood it. And so, you know, and if it's wrong, then it's hard to break that. It's hard to break that concept in a person. But truth of the matter is, I would rather be wrong and correct it so that I don't end up going to the lake than to, you know, hold on to my pride and say, oh, nah, I'm not seeing it that way. I'm not going to see it that way. This is the way I was taught. And so I know, you know, even for us who study, a lot of times what we are taught, the way we are taught something, when we read the scriptures, we will read into the scriptures what we were taught. And if it's in error, that's the problem. If it is in error, then we will keep reading that error right into the scriptures and right into our understanding. And so, you know, a lot of times we have to just step back and say, let me take a fresh look at this. Let me consider. You know, I don't know about anyone else, but my main concern is making it into the kingdom. My main concern is not going to the lake of fire. My main concern is being able to see the Most High and see him in peace, not see him in his wrath. And so, you know, that's the same concern for the body, that we would make it in and that we would all be able to see him in peace, not in his wrath, that we would not go to the lake, and that, you know, we will have served him with our whole hearts. So this is where we're at. I want to greet everybody who's in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be, whether you're in North America, South America, on the African continent, in Europe. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. With that being said, let us start the Sabbath off with the blowing of the shofar. The Most High says in the new moons, in his Sabbath days, that we should blow the shofar. And he says when we blow the shofar, that he would come. And if we are in battle, he would come to our aid. You know, I believe him. So let us sound the shofar.
Ain't nobody sweeter.
He's more God,
walking.
He's
with problems I could down. So please,
please just remember this.
Ain't nobody beat up. You say that there's nothing wrong with breaking God's laws. That there's nothing wrong, and nothing bad will happen to you. But don't you know if you don't repent? But don't you know you're gonna die? But don't you know you're gonna die? But don't you know you're gonna die? But don't you know but if you repent? But don't you know to save your life? But don't you know you're gonna die?
The Most High is the best. Ain't nobody greater. We'll help you through your test.
With problems I could down when it gets hard. So please
just remember this.
Ain't nobody freed up. Sometimes in our lives we will make mistakes, but you gotta pray. He who overcomes will inherit all things. God said,
the Most High is the best. Ain't nobody greater. We'll help you through your test. Ain't nobody greater.
Yeah. blessings are, nor they come from the Father's heart, not the sky, not chains. But truth is, I'm not lucky, I'm loved.
Praise and the glory. You came and you walk in the flesh, an example of love. It is a story. Your words jump at me like a picture. So perfect you are in the scriptures. Your words, they don't change and they don't go void. You are the truth you deliver. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that. Check all my members, 'cause I gotta be in that number. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that.
Profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us lift up a hand clap of praise to our Elohim on this, his day. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Father, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, Father, glory to your name, glory, 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 glory to your name. From glory to glory, you are Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself. You are majesty upon majesty. You are majestic, and you are Elohim. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There is none like you, O Yah. There is none like you. Hallelujah. Able to deliver where no one else can deliver. Hallelujah. Who can take you out of Yah's hand if he has you? No one. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we just worship and praise you and adore you on this your Shabbat. We honor you in it. We will not turn to the right or to the left, Father. We will not do our own pleasure. Hallelujah. But we will honor you on your Shabbat. Hallelujah. We will remember that in 6 days you created the heavens and the earth and all that there is in it. Hallelujah. And we remember you, Father, for you are our creator. You are our redeemer. You are our salvation. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. We glorify you, Father. We lift you up. We extol thee. We extol thee. We extol thee. We lift you up on high. Hallelujah, because truly you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Hallelujah. Now the ladies to cover their heads. Any men listening, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that we have done wickedly, and that we are repenting of our sins and returning from our wicked ways. And, Father, we would ask that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. For our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, deliver us from this captivity. Kumbaya. Kumbaya. Come by here, Yah. See about your people. Forget us not. Do not leave us in the place where you sent us amongst our enemies. Father, but we pray that you would hear our prayers and our supplications and that you would deliver us. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, that all that you should call in Christ, that they should come and receive salvation and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments also. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Let us go to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 46. If they, Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carried them away captives unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captives, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim will bring every work into judgment, every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing, if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse, if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other Elohims which you have not known. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. On last week, we learned that the Most High told us in his word that how the tribes were arranged. He told us how they would go out. He told us about when we blow the trumpet. And it was to assemble ourselves. And one blow of the trumpet was for the princes or the elders to come, the rulers of thousands. Two blows was to assemble the people. And then there was an alarm. He didn't really define, you know, how that alarm sounded. But it's clear that the people knew in that time. So there would be an alarm, and that alarm would say, you know, when they would go out, come to order and get your direction from the Most High. When the pillar of cloud would depart from the tabernacle, they would pack up and they would leave. And wherever the pillar of cloud settled, that's where they would stop. If it was at night, then it would be in that pillar of fire. And they would follow it until it stopped. And so sometimes he woke them up in the middle of the night and said, let's go. Sometimes it's whenever the Most High said. But, he was leading them through the wilderness, and it was intentional, and it was with a purpose. But it was, to see if they would follow and obey him. And so even today, as we're reading the scriptures, we have to always look at what the intent of the Most High is. He's not just doing things just to be doing them. But he wants to know if you're going to follow me. He wants to know if you're going to obey. Each and every one of us. And so it's critical that we obey his voice. It's just paramount. Paramount that we obey his voice. And that we do it with joy. Because he cares for us. So we're going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Starting in verse 1 on this evening. And like I said, I didn't want to skip anything. But we want to look for those tidbits, those golden nuggets that are in the scriptures that tell us about how the Most High, his expectations. Because he don't change. So he's not going to change in the New Testament. And I think people take salvation, they take it in such a way that the Most High changed. And he didn't change. Okay. And hopefully, the little short video that I put out will allow you to see that the same way he operated in the Old Testament and his same, modus operandi in the Old Testament, I'll forgive you for ignorant sin, but I don't forgive you for willful disobedience. It says you're going to bear your iniquity if you are willfully disobedient. And then we see it, the same concept in the New, but again, people have made the New to where the Most High, whatever you do, he's going to forgive it forever. And he's just not. And it's, the truth is in his word. So, we have to come to truth. He says, worship me in spirit and in truth. If somebody teaches me a lie about the scripture, and then I learn that it's a lie, I'm not going to keep holding on to that. Because then I'm not worshiping him in spirit and in truth. I'd be worshiping him in spirit and a lie. And he says, you can believe a lie and be damned. So I don't think anybody wants to intentionally be damned by the Most High. But he says, but if you choose to believe the lie, if you choose to believe the lie, if you choose to hold on to the lie, he says, then all right, if you choose to hold on to it, then I'm going to cause you to believe it. I'm going to cause you to believe it, and nobody's going to be able to convince you that it's not. Because you chose to hold on to the truth. You chose to hold on to a lie. Okay, so as we're going through the covenant, we want to make sure that we are, we're looking at the intent of the Most High and how he operates, so we don't expect something different in the New Testament. It's like they're serving two or three different Elohims. And that's kind of crazy. The Elohim of the Old Testament, somehow, somewhere he disappeared in the New Testament. But he didn't disappear. So that's why I don't want to skip anything that we're reading. I want, because there's going to be little things here and there in all the scripture that will teach us something. So the book of Numbers, chapter 11, starting in verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased Yah. And Yah heard it. And his anger was kindled. And the fire of Yah burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Now think about this. The Most High has been giving you instruction. He has told you how to form up. He has told you, hey, when you're in trouble, blow the trumpet. I'll come. If I'm not here, I will come. And I will see to you. I will deliver you. He's giving them orders when to go and when to stop, guiding their paths. And then the people complain. And they're not murmuring, you know, like in their sleep or something. They are complaining out loud, and the Most High heard it. And he heard them complaining about whatever it was he was having them to do. Verse 2, and the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto Yah, the fire was quenched. The Most High start burning up people. How come we don't hear the churches or the camps talking about how the Most High, this is, he don't play. You start complaining, the Most High didn't say what's wrong. The Most High didn't say, why are you crying? He started burning folks up. The people who were on the edge, on the outside. Let's read that again. Because I want us to understand is that the Elohim that people are worshiping is not the Elohim of this book. They have painted a picture of him that is just not true. They painted a half a picture of him. Maybe not even half. Verse 1 again. And when the people complained, it displeased Yah. And Yah heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of Yah burnt among them and consumed them that were in the outermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto Yah, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of Yah burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Now, this lusting is for flesh, not human flesh. They want flesh to eat. Okay? But they're murmuring and complaining. The Most High, as I said, when you look at his nature, he didn't come and say, what's wrong? Why are you crying? Why are you complaining? He got hot. He got mad. And start burning people up. Now we got this mixed multitude. You know, because everybody that came out of Egypt wasn't Hebrew or Israelite. Some of them were Egyptians. Some of them were probably of other nations as well. But if they believed in the Elohim of the Bible, they believed in the Elohim of Israel, and they came with them. They had probably intermarried with them. But they believed enough that they came. And so now they're starting to lust. After what? Flesh to eat. We want meat to eat. We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely. The cucumbers. And the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. What are they complaining about? We don't have nothing to eat but this manna. Now, here's your creator, the one that formed you from the dirt, the one that breathed into your nostrils mankind, the breath of life, the one that chose you as his people. It's not like he don't know what it takes to sustain you. It's not like he don't know. You know what? All you need is this manna. But we used to the garlic and the cucumbers. We're used to the onions and the leeks. We're used to the fish that we used to get. And we want that stuff. Ain't nothing here but this manna. Do you hear the tone in their voice? But now our soul is dried away. We drying up. This is what they're saying to the Most High now. You know, we wasting away. And the Most High said, I'm giving you food from heaven. This is so pure. When you eat it, you get full. You don't lack anything at all. But see, we like variety. So, you know, we got used to the taste of fish. We got used to the taste of the flesh. We got used to the taste of, you know, like you said, the onions and the garlic and the leeks, the melons, the cucumbers. You know, I want a salad, and I want to cut me up some yard bird on it. And, you know, I want some lettuce and some cucumbers and some of those little cherry tomatoes and some Caesar dressing on it, or some blue cheese. Oh, we missing that stuff. And they complained directly to Moses, really to the Most High. This manna ain't enough. Verse 7. And the manna was as a coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bedlam. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in meals and beat it into a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families. Now, this is not just one family. He said weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of Yahweh was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. So this people is, they are, not happy with what the Most High has provided, to say the least. And it said, Moses heard the people weep throughout their families. Somebody in every family was crying out, you know, this is all we got to eat? And Moses said unto Yah, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Why did you give me these people? And why have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the suckling child, unto the land which thou swearest unto thy fathers? Now, I'm listening to Moses here, and Moses is, you know, he's got a complaint to the Most High. Why you make me responsible for all these people? Did I begat them? Did I father them? Are they my children? Carry them in thy bosom. as a nursing father, like, you know, like these are my children. Why did you afflict me this way? And you know what? I'm hearing this and seeing how the Most High is. And he don't say it right away. But I believe this is also a conversation and some words that Moses probably should never have spoken. Because let's read this part right here. Have I begotten them that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father bears the suckling child. Now here's the part. Unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers. What did Moses get? What did the Most High deny Moses? Oh, you want to complain about carrying them in your bosom into the promised land? You don't get to carry them into the promised land. Now, he doesn't say it to him at this time, but remember the people are complaining and now Moses is complaining. And when the people complain, the Most High got angry with them. Start burning them up. Now here's this prophet. And he's now complaining about these people that are complaining. So hindsight is 20/20. It is possible that the Most High is also remembering this conversation as well with Moses. And saying, okay, you want to complain? You want to complain about carrying the load that I put upon you? Verse 13. Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? When? How? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. Am I not able to bear all this people alone? He says, I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it's too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. So, you know, you got to be awfully depressed, overwhelmed, to tell the Most High, if this is how you're going to deal with me, kill me. Verse 16, and Yah said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people. Now this is where I'm telling us as Hebrew Israelites, as the people of the Most High, that we have to respect the office of elder. This is the Most High system. Okay, and when a man gets, you know, assigned to that office, it's not a duty that he should take lightly. And it's not a duty that the people should esteem him lightly. They should have the utmost respect. But the elders are here to help Moses. There's the priesthood is already here. So these elders, you got to look and see what they're doing. He tells us what their job is going to be. Okay? Whom thou knowest to be elders of the peoples and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with you, with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there. And I will take up the spirit which is upon you, and I will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you. Bear the burden of the people with you. And thou shalt bear it not thyself alone. So the elders are supposed to, you know, all these wants and needs of the people, this has nothing to do with the priesthood. This has to do with civil order. Civil order, keeping things organized and in order. and say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and you shall eat flesh. For you have wept in the ears of Yah, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore, Yah will give you flesh, and you shall eat. Now, I want us to pay attention because the Most High is still hot. I'm going to give you flesh. But pay attention. You shall not eat it one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils. You're going to eat this until you can't eat it no more. And it is, and it be loathsome, loathsome unto you. That means that you don't want it no more. You're going to hate it because that you have despised Yah, which is among you, and have wept before him saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? Now, this is what the crux of the matter is. Not only are you crying saying that you want meat, but you're saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? Why did we ever follow the Most High out into the wilderness? And so the Most High said, I'm going to give you meat to eat, but you're going to eat it until it come out your nose. Now watch what happens. And Moses said, the people among who I am are 600,000 footmen. And thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? We got some flocks here. We got some herds here. You know, we got some cows, and we got some, you know, whatever birds they were having, chickens or whatever it was. He says, are we supposed to kill that to satisfy them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? We got all these people, 600,000 footmen. Now, that's just the footmen. So understand that this crowd is in the millions. Okay? It's not just 600,000 people, but it's in the millions. Because it's only talking about 600,000 footmen being those that are between ages 20 and 50. Not anybody older than that. Not any man older than that. Not any man younger than that. Not counting the women and the children. So it's not just these 600,000. I want you to understand this number that you see here is in the millions. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them, to suffice them, to satisfy them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them, to suffice them? And Yah said unto Moses, is Yah's hand waxed short? Moses, what the heck are you talking about? Do you think that I'm unable to do this? Or you think that I'm not able to deliver what I said I'm going to deliver? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Now, Moses shouldn't be doubting the Most High at all. But he does, and the Most High looks at him and says, is my hand grown short? Do you think I'm not able to do what I said I'm going to do? Are you really doubting me? And Moses went out and told the people the words of Yah, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them around about the tabernacle. And Yah came down in a cloud and spake unto him, and took of the spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Now he gave these 70 men, just like Moses had, the Ruach HaKodesh. But he took it from a measure off of Moses and put it on 70 others. So how much was on Moses? But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other, Medad. You know what I want to look up? I've never looked up these two names, what they mean. Let's see, because it sounds like there is a hidden nugget here. Eldad and Medad, verse 26. Eldad means Elohim has loved an Israelite. Eldad. So Eldad means Elohim has loved. Medad means in the sense of loving, affectionate. So Elohim has loved affectionately. And the Spirit rested upon them. So these two men really are going to display the love of Elohim and what his intent is. Eldad and Medad, the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out into the tabernacle. And they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my Lord Moses, or my master Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would that Elohim, that all Yah's people were prophets, and that Yah would put his spirit upon. See, when he said of the spirit that was on Moses, Moses is telling you what spirit was upon him. And that Elohim would put his spirit upon them, all of Israel. Moses said, I ain't going to be jealous of these men that the Most High, you know, he left them in the camp and they were prophesying. And Moses got him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. So Moses said, I wish that all of y'all spake and prophesied and had the spirit of the Most High. This was not something new. This is why I'm telling you, when we read in the book of Acts, chapter 7, Stephen is expounding to Israel, to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, even in the wilderness, the Most High wanted to put his spirit on all of Israel. But he couldn't, because they were hard-headed and stiff-necked. They were murmuring and complaining. But from the very beginning, the Most High wants his priesthood to be filled with his spirit. This is not something new. He says, now, since y'all refuse it, and y'all want, you know, you want to be disobedient and stiff-necked, I'm going to have what I want, even if I got to take it out of the Gentiles. So whose fault is this? It's our fault. It's our forefathers' fault. But understand that receiving the Ruach HaKodesh is not new. The Most High reserved it for his prophets and the kings. That's what it ended up being reserved for in Torah. Because the common man and even the priesthood, they weren't doing right before the Most High. So he limited it. But his intent was, Moses just told you, his intent was that he would do it to all of Israel. And so don't think that, you know, you as a Hebrew Israelite are receiving something new today. This was the intent of the Most High from the very beginning, when he brought us out of Egypt, to fill his priesthood with his spirit. Okay. So when we don't have it, when we don't have his spirit, then we are in trouble. And we are just like our forefathers, stiff-necked and hard-hearted. Something's wrong on the inside. When we fight this, And when we don't submit ourselves to the Most High, that he would fill us with his Spirit. This was the intent from the beginning. Okay. Verse 31. And there went forth a wind from Yah, and brought quail from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side and a day's journey on the other side. So think about this. These quail came in and they fell from the sky, landed around the children of Israel, one day's journey wide. However far you could travel in a day. Whether that was 5 miles, 10 miles, 15 miles, whatever it was, that's how wide this swath of quail fell from the sky. As it was a day's journey on the other side and round about the camp. And as it were 2 cubits high. A cubit is, I believe that's 3 feet. So these are 6 feet high. 2 cubits. No, a cubit is 18 inches, so this would be 3 feet high. 3 feet high and a day's journey deep. High upon the face of the earth. And the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. They're gathering the quails for how many days? All that day. And all that night, and all the next day, and they gathered the quails, and he that gathered least gathered 10 omers, and they spread them all abroad themselves round about the camp. So you know, think about what these people are doing. They are hoarding. We don't know when we're gonna get some meat again, so let's just go get us as much as we can. And we're gonna store it up around the camp. Put some in the tent. Put some outside the tent. This is their mentality. So hear what Yah is saying to us. They didn't just go out and gather, you know, a handful. Said that he that gathered the least gathered 10 omers. Now, however many that is, it was more than what they needed. Because the Most High said, even for the manna, that they were only supposed to gather an omer a day, one bowlful. So they're acting like the Most High is not going to do this again. And they have become covetous. They have become greedy. They have become, you know, we don't know when we're going to get meat again. So they are not counting on the Most High to provide. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, before it was chewed, the wrath of Yah was kindled against the people. Look at how they acted. And Yah smote the people with a very great plague. Again, was Yah merciful? Was he gracious? Was he kind? Or did he get angry? And he smote the people with a what? Very great plague? And he called the name of that place Kibbaroth Hattaavah. Kibbaroth Hattaavah. Because there they buried the people that lusted. There they buried the people that lusted. Lust in their heart caused them to become covetous and to gather in more than they needed. Mistrust the Most High, and he killed them. He killed them. So I don't know who people worship him. I don't know what they're worshiping. And the people journeyed from Kibroth Hattaavah unto Hazeroth and abode at Hazeroth. So the people have made the Most High. They have royally pissed him off. You not satisfied with what I'm giving you? Number one. Then you're going to murmur and complain, why did I take you out of Egypt? Number two. And then when I provide meat for you, you're going to go and run and get it like you ain't going to never get it again. Lust in your heart. Become covetous. You know, run and store some in your tent. Store some outside the tent. We don't know when the next time we're going to get some meat. And it just angered the Most High. Because they really not learning nothing. There's a lesson in there for us. Number one, don't, if you trust the Most High, don't murmur and complain. You may be going through the things that you're going through because there's something you need to learn. There's something he wants you to see. And we don't want to murmur and complain because then we're asking for his help. And then when the help comes, we think that it should come one way. We got our own ideal of how it should arrive. And when it comes another way, then we start to murmur. We start to distrust. We start to start trying to count back on ourselves. And that angers the Most High because you don't trust me. What's coming out your mouth and your actions don't match up. That's why I said we don't want to skip any of this because we want to know how the Most High operates and not how we say he operates. Not how we have our own, you know, opinion that Most High is this way. Look and see how he acts in the scriptures. I bet you a lot of these people didn't think they were going to die. A lot of these people probably didn't believe that they were going to eat quail until they died. Literally. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to imagine that you are eating something and you cannot stop eating it. And no matter how full you get, you can't stop eating it. And you eat yourself to death. To death. Until your stomach can't hold no more, you throw up, it's stuck in your esophagus, it's stuck in your nostrils, you can't breathe, and you're still trying to stuff it in your mouth. This is what Elohim did to them. Made them eat until it killed them. When they first start murmuring, what did he do? Burn them up. Those that are around the edge of the camp? Burnt them up. So I don't know who people think they're dealing with. He tells us to be afraid. You need to be very afraid. Because he's not to be trifled with. And the more we read, the more we ought to see that. When he says, fear me, he's not telling us that just to be telling us something. His actions say, you need to fear him. You don't come close to him and say you got a relationship with him and then act foolish. We ought to see that more and more. That's why I don't want to skip nothing. Because we need to know who we're dealing with. And it's not, we don't want some made up idol that somebody that made up in their mind, my Elohim is this way. And he would never do that. And if he does that, he can't be my Elohim. Then this is not your Elohim. And what you have made up is in your mind. And people playing with fire. For real, for real. Let's continue. Now we're going to see Moses' brother and sister. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. What you doing marrying that non-Hebrew woman? Wasn't that, what you doing marrying that black woman? That way, because they were all black. All of color. I won't say black. All melanated. Looked like the American Negro. So she's not complaining because he's married, you know, he's white and she's married, he's married a black woman, a woman of color. That's not what they're complaining about. You marrying outside of the tribe. Now, Moses didn't marry a Hebrew woman, but he married a woman of color, a Canaanite. And they said, has Yah indeed spoken only by Moses? Now, hear what they're complaining about. Yah don't just talk to you. He talked to us, too. Has he not spoken also by us? And Yah heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. So we got to know that scripture says he was a meek man. Don't say he was a weak man, he was a meek man. And Yah spake suddenly unto Moses and said unto Aaron and unto Miriam. Now, hear this. He didn't tell Moses to tell Miriam and Aaron to come out. He spoke to Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. Don't he speak by us? So, yeah, the Most High was speaking to them too. Come out, you three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. Now, put yourself in their shoes. Here you are speaking against your brother, saying that Yah don't only speak, and you're both older than him. This is your younger brother, so you feel like you got some authority over him. I got some age over you. I got some, what's the word I'm looking for here? I don't want to use the word superiority. But I got some, when you have been around longer than someone else, they call that, I guess it is superiority. I've been here longer than you. Shalom, my sister. What's that word? Sister Mary?
I'm sorry, I was on mute. Is it experience?
There's another word when you are senior to someone. You've been there, you know, in a position longer than them. And, you know, the experience
seniority?
Has to do with, you know, huh?
Seniority?
There it is. Seniority. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I don't know why that word wouldn't come to me, even though I would say it in another way. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, they feel like they got some seniority here. And besides that, the Most High is talking to them too. And the Most High heard it. Now let's hear what the Most High says. And Yah spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. Come out, you three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And Yah came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. So is the Most High talking to them? Can they hear him? Yes, just like Moses can. And they become puffed up. Yah ain't just talking to you. But they don't understand authority. So you might be older than me, but you don't have seniority over me. And the Most High is going to see to this. So the Most High calls to Aaron and to Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, Yah, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. I'm going to speak straight to Moses. I'm going to come to you in a vision and a dream. But you hearing me right now, and I'm speaking directly to you, Aaron and Miriam. And the similitude of Yah shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid? This is why I'm telling y'all. People not afraid of the people that the Most High uses. If the Most High is truly using somebody, you need to also, especially those that speak for Yah, you need to fear them too, because a lot of times when they're talking on behalf of the Most High, or the Most High is talking through them. And when you don't fear it, you don't really understand who's speaking to you. So why for were you not afraid to speak against my servant, Moses? Moses is full of the Ruach HaKodesh. The Most High is talking to him mouth to mouth, openly. Now he's saying, I talked to you, Miriam, and you, Aaron, and now I'm talking to you straight, mouth to mouth right now, because you done messed up. And the anger of Yah was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, behold, she was leprous. Now, you got to wonder, what went on here? Because why didn't the Most High give Aaron leprosy also? So Miriam must have really been running her mouth. I'm talking about really. Now, I ain't saying nothing against y'all women, but y'all know y'all can get a mouth sometime. And it appears that she was doing the brunt of the talking. And the Most High made her leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my master, now his tone has changed. I don't talk just to you. Now it's my master. I beseech you, lay not this sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. This leprosy consumes your flesh. It starts to fall off of you. It starts to rot. Your flesh does. Did the Most High say, don't do that? Did he say, you ought to behave yourself? Miriam came down with leprosy right away. Is this the Elohim? Do people remember this stuff? Because they got Elohim being like soft. I don't get it. And Moses cried unto Yah, saying, heal her now, O Elohim. I beseech you, I beg you. And Yah said unto Moses, if her father has spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Hear what the Most High is saying. She has done, I'm telling you, she was the one running her mouth. And the Most High said, if her father had spit in her face, disgraced her, should she not have been ashamed 7 days? Because she had caused her father to treat her like that. And now she's going to come and she's going to treat the man of the Most High that way? Well, she don't realize that she was dealing with the Most High, my servant, my prophet. Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days. And after that, let her be received again. So the Most High, we have to know from the circumstances that Miriam was running her mouth and she was speaking against Moses, and she probably initiated this. And the Most High said, uh-uh. She don't know how to keep her mouth closed. She needs to be shamed. And this is going to be as though her father shamed her. Like she did something to so egregious against her own father that her own father would spit in her face. You got to do something really terrible to have your own father spit in your face. You gotta dishonor him in such a way, and he's got to be a man of integrity and honor that he would just spit in your face. And this is what the Most High says: this is what she deserves. So she was running her mouth. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days. And the people journeyed not until Miriam was brought in again. And afterwards the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. So we got to understand that when you are dealing with the man of the Most High, even the woman of the Most High, these days, because Yah shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh, you got to be very careful how you address them. You got to be very careful what you say against them. And here, Aaron and Miriam, and it would appear so by the punishment, that Miriam got that female part of her come out. She started running her mouth, and she was saying, probably saying stuff she ought not say, and it's just not recorded. But the punishment shows that the Most High was most displeased with her. And so it should be as if her father had spit in her face. So we got to, and the Most High was, you know, again, we have to look at how he operates. You don't just confront him, even indirectly, not even his servants, indirectly, because you don't know what might come upon you. And people say some stuff, but all you got to do is just wait. It may not be immediate like this, but it typically don't fare well for them. Let's keep going. Numbers chapter 13, and we're at 31 after, so we should be able to finish this one. Numbers chapter 13. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, send you men that may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, everyone a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of Yah, sent from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were the names of the tribes of Reuben, Shamu, the son of Zakur, of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Horah, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of the tribe of Issachar, Agiel, the son of Joseph, and of the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun, and of the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Raphu, and the son of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sadi, and of the tribe of Joseph, namely of the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Sushi, and the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamaliel, and of the tribe of Asher, Sethur, the son of Michael, and of the tribe of Naphtali, Naphbi, the son of Bossi, and of the tribe of Gad, Gaiuel, the son of Machai. And these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land. What is it, and the people that dwelleth therein, wherewith they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be good therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring up the fruit of the land. And now the time was the time of first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land, from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as the men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishi, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they buried between two upon a staff. And they brought up the pomegranates and the figs, and the place was called the brook of Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from there, or from thence. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. Now, these brothers have gone over, and they are told to go search out the land. And they're told to see whether it's good or bad. And this cluster of grapes that they're bringing back is so large that, you know, we pull a cluster of grapes off the vine, and it might fill our hands today. But these brothers, it took two of them to carry this cluster of grapes. And they stayed in the land 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, giants. and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites. Now the Jebusites are the original owners. They're Canaanites. They're the original builders of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is where Melchizedek was. And so these people are of the city of Jerusalem. And the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight." So Moses said, "Go spy out the land. Send one of the leaders from each of the 12 tribes, and only two of them bring back a positive report. The other ones come back with a negative report. We can't take the land." Joshua's like, "Hey, let us go possess the land now." But the other one's like, "Hey, those people are too great. We can't take the land." Now let's see how the Most High reacts to this. Well, first we're going to have to see how the people react. Then we're going to see how the Most High reacts. Numbers chapter 14, verse 1. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Now they believed the ten. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses." Now watch what these people are going to try to do. Watch what they talk about doing. "And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would Elohim that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would Elohim we had died in the wilderness? And wherefore hast Yah brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain." Let's make us a captain now, a ruler, "and let us return to Egypt." So they're going to overthrow Moses and Aaron, and they're going to turn around and go back to Egypt. "Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, tore their clothes open. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it, it is an exceeding good land. If Yah delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against Yah, neither fear you the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and Yah is with us. Fear them not." But all the congregation bade to stone them with stones. "We gonna kill Yah." And the glory of Yah appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel. And Yah said unto Moses, "How long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere that they believe me, before they believe me, for all the signs which I have shown among them? I will smite them with pestilence, and disinherit them. They won't be my people anymore. And I will make thee a greater nation and mightier than they. Let me read that again. I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto Yah, then the Egyptians will hear it. For thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land. For they have heard that thou art among this people, that thou, Yah, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, that thou goest before them, by day in a pillar of cloud, and by in a pillar of fire by night. He's saying, the Egyptians who you brought us out of, they will hear that you brought all these people out to kill them. They know that you go amongst them. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nation which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because Yah was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. Hear what Moses is saying. Moses is saying the people are going to say, because you were not able to bring the children of Israel into the promised land. The way it's being said is, Yah, you don't have the strength. You don't have the ability. They're going to say that you weren't capable to bring these people into the promised land. If you kill them all as one people, they're going to say you killed them because you couldn't bring them into the promised land. And now I beseech you, let the power of my Lord, my master, be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, and Yah is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty. So he's asking the Most High to be long-suffering, show great mercy, forgive iniquity and transgression, and by no means clear the guilty, those people who complain, those people who say they can't go over. Don't clear them, but don't kill everybody either. Visiting the iniquity upon the fathers, upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto thy greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. So Moses was like, you've been forgiving us from the time we left Egypt. That's why I said to us before, this people was corrupt leaving Egypt. They were corrupt in the wilderness. They corrupt the whole way, the nation of Israel. And Yah said, I have pardoned according to thy word. So I hear you, Moses, now. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of Yah. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not listened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherewith he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And Yah spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me, saying unto them, as truly as I live, saith Yah, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. We wish that we would die in the wilderness. We wish that we had gone back to Egypt. He says, so I heard what you said. All of you that saw the miracles, all of you that saw the miracles in coming out of Egypt, that saw the miracles in the wilderness, you're not going to enter into the promised land. And I'm going to kill you in this wilderness like you ask. And all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from the 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I shall swear to make you dwell therein, says Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Those are only two 20 years old and up, older than 20 years old, that's going to make it in. All the rest of y'all, 20 years old and older, or above, let's say 21, you ain't making it in. You're going to die in the wilderness. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in. And they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. And the number of the days in which you search the land, 40 days, each day for a year. So the Most High said, every day that they were searching the land, I'm putting a year to your punishment. Shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years? You shall know my breach of promise. My breach of promise. What was the Most High's breach of promise? I promised to bring you all into the promised land. Now I'm going to break that promise. And I ain't bringing you all into the promised land. You making me break my promise. You making me breach it. So, and you shall know my breach of promise. All of you 20 years old and upward, you don't get to make it. And I promised you that I would bring you in. Now I'm not promising you. Now I'm going to break my promise and kill you here in the wilderness. Now, when the Most High comes into the New Testament, and everybody who breaches the promise with him, why do we think that we can just pick it back up? Why do we think that he won't do to us like he did to them? Why do we think that he's got to be forever forgiving, forever merciful? He said, I've been merciful to you guys 10 times. You have murmured against me. Now I'm done. And I'm going to break my promise. I don't break my promise, but I'm going to break my promise to you. And you ain't entering in. That's his breach of promise. I, Yah, have said, I will surely do it unto all the evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there shall they die. See, people read this stuff, but somehow the Most High in the New Testament, he all the stuff that he said he's going to do, people don't believe he's going to do it. People don't believe that Yah is an Elohim of his word. And it's only one time in the scripture where you will ever find him say that he breached his promise. Since his word is sure. But you can get so, you know, you can be so disobedient that the Most High says, you know what? I'm going to breach my promise to you. I told you I would give you eternal life. I told you I would be long-suffering with you and gracious. But you just keep refusing to learn. You just keep falling all the time. And then you want me to keep my word. So people need to understand. You don't want to see. You don't want to know. You don't want to get to the point that the Most High breaches his promise to you. That's why he says, I'm not going to be mocked. I'm not a fool. And if you think I won't have a change of heart toward you, if you can't appreciate what I do for you, what I provided for you, and if you can't appreciate how many times I forgave you already, and you're just going to keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it, see, you're going to know my breach of promise too, just like the children of Israel did. So we don't see, and we're not taught about the Elohim of the Bible like that. People think they can just keep doing stuff, and because judgment doesn't seem to come right away, they don't think judgment is coming. And keep thinking that they got time to repent and to turn around. But see, the truth of the matter is, if you keep having to repent, it means you never actually really did. Let me say that again. If you keep having to repent, it means you never actually really did. Because repentance means to turn away from it and never do it again. So to do it again means that you weren't serious the first time. Or the second time, or the third time, or the fourth time, like the children of Israel. Up until the tenth time, the Most High says, you have tempted me these 10 times. I wouldn't take that as the Most High's limit. Because some of those people didn't get to survive that. Some of those people right away died, got burnt up. Some of those people who complained right away, they were made to eat quail until it came out their nose. Till it killed them. Now apparently, we still here. I wouldn't keep tempting the Most High. I wouldn't keep telling him I'm sorry and then some kind of way I find my way back into that same situation or that same status that I came out of, unrepentant. And then say, oh, well, he's got to be merciful. He's got to be forgiving. Because I'm telling you, this verse, verse 34 in Numbers chapter 14, when the Most High says, and you shall know my breach. My word is good, but you're going to know my breach of promise. I'm going to break my promise to take you into the promised land. I'm going to break my promise to give you eternal life because you've clearly proven you don't deserve it. We don't see him saying that stuff. We want to take we want to hold him to his word that I'm steadfast. But clearly you can take him to a point where he says, uh-uh, no more. I've had enough. And people just think that they can just abuse the Most High like that. But I'm showing you in his word, no, the Most High, he has a limit with some stuff. And so you have to be very careful what you say. Because it might be the very judgment that comes upon you. But people don't take the Most High seriously like that. Let's finish this up. And Yah, verse 35. And Yah have said, I will surely do it unto this evil congregation that they gather together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there shall they die. and men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up the slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before Yah. They didn't even get to live out the rest of the 40 years. All those men who brought back that negative report, they died right then. But Joshua and Nun and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, still lived still. And Moses told these sayings unto the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning. Now watch and see what they do, okay? Because see, you don't want to do this either. Pay attention here. And they rose up early in the morning and got them up to the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we will go up into the place which Yah has promised, for we have sinned. Now, they're trying to have a change of heart. And they're trying to say, okay, we believe the Most High. We sinned in not believing him and disobeying him. So we're going to go try to take this land now. The land that the Most High promised us. And Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of Yah? What's the commandment? You're going to stay in this wilderness and die. But it shall not prosper. Go not up. Don't go up over there. For Yah is not among you, that you be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you are turned away from Yah. Therefore, Yah will not be with you. But they presumed to go up. See, they presumed presumptuously to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of Yah and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in the hill, and smote them, and discomforted them, even unto Hormah. So the people were like, we have sinned, and we're going to go up and take the land now. And it's like they're trying to not prove the Most High wrong. It's like they're trying to appease the Most High, but the Most High has already left them. And he's already pronounced judgment. You're going to die in this wilderness. Oh, no, we're going to go over and take the land. We're going to do what you said now. We believe you now. And the Most High, and Moses tried to tell him, no, don't go over there. The Most High not with you. And see, sometimes we will take the Most High for granted until he leaves. And then we try to get right, and we try to go do what it is that he said to do. But he's already left. And so we don't want to be like that. We need to see how the Most High, how he operates. Don't be disobeying him and, you know, then all of a sudden he pronounces judgment on you, and then now you want to get right. It's too late at that point. And so let's bow our heads. As I told you, I don't want to skip any chapters because there's nuggets, golden nuggets in the scriptures all over the place. These scriptures that we have been reviewing, they don't necessarily cover law. They don't necessarily cover the covenant. But they do show us how the Most High operates. And when we come into covenant with him, the Most High is serious. This is not a plaything with him, and we should not be playing with it either. And so, you know, people don't want to hear it, but all through this scripture he says, fear me. He's showing us why we should fear him. He's showing us why we should fear him. So, Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, Father, we don't want to be disobedient. Father, we don't want to take you for granted. Father, we don't want to push you to the point that you say, now you shall see my breach of promise. We don't want you to say those things concerning us. Father, we know that you are true to your word, that you speak it and it becomes so. And for you to have to unspeak something that you have spoken, you have to be truly angered at your people. Father, give us the Spirit, your Spirit. Strengthen us. Let us not become weak and weary and tired. Let us not let the cares of this world be enough to cause us to fall and to go against you. Let us not tempt you as our forefathers did. Not through murmurings and complainings, but through continuously failing to obey your voice. Father, search our hearts, search our minds, search our spirits. Remove anything that is not like you. Remove any thought, any doubt, anything that is not like you, Father, remove it, that we might keep your word, that we might walk in your statutes and your ordinance and in your commandments, that we might obey your judgments. Let us not have the spirit of the world, Father, because the spirit of the world is to be disobedient. The spirit of the world is to put their righteousness above yours. The spirit of the world is to say that they know better than you do. Father, we submit ourselves totally, 100, in submission to you and your word. Father, we know that you don't play, and that we should fear you because you don't play. Help us even now. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen and amen. All right, on the morning, I'm going to do Yah will pity his name. And understand that we're going to learn some things, some more things about ourselves and about Israel. We're also going to learn about a blessing that the Most High has pronounced upon us if we should truly turn to him. Don't doubt for a single moment the Most High Elohim. Trust in him. And don't let it waver at all. Because it's just not good to let it waver into doubt. It doesn't please him. So let us walk upright in the strength of his word, believing everything that Yah has said. Every vision that he's given, know that and believe and understand that it's going to work out. And we may not be able to see the end of it right now, but trust, it's going to work out. It's going to work to our good. That being said, may the Most High bless you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from every harm, hurt, evil spirit that should come around you, seen and unseen. And remember, I love you, each and every one of you, I really do. But I can't love you like the Most High. Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath.
Which dwells